You're supposed to say the lines.
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. Using opinions or other opinions.
Fuck that bullshit. They are my opinions. And my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlins' ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. Please don't do anything that these stupid-ass people do in podcast. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show. Exploring the paranormal perspective. It's a technical difficulty day. We'll just leave it at that.
To 2013, this roof comes down. I'm the trigger object for my dad. The first one was confusing to me. It was a strange holy mackerel, which nobody in my family ever used. Nobody ever said that.
You have turkey ghosts.
We did. A few months later, I broke away from them. And had been doing all the audio and loved EVP work. Luckily, I haven't seen any like that yet. I'm sure they're coming, but I haven't seen any. I had been asking, how's the book coming? It's not.
What sets this book apart from all the other EVP books out there? I know I've already said it, but...
Don't forget to click that like, subscribe, follow, you know the drill, wherever you watch, wherever you listen, and thank you so much for your support.
What sets it apart? Because you said you have over 100 and something EVPs in there. I don't even know if I have that many.
Yeah, there's close to 130, I think. So what you do is go to elkvalleyparanormal.com, and in the evidence section, there's a menu, drop-down menu. And if you click on their speaking, you can follow along per chapter. So if you go into hometown business, which is an old hometown business here, you can hear that place was crazy. I got so many EVPs at that freaking place that during the reveal, I took my recorder back to record to see if they were there. And they were. And one of the ones I got that night when I was telling them about everything I'd gotten the previous, one of the ones I got was find out her name. They didn't like me.
Oh, why? You're so likable, though.
Well, not to them. Not to them, because I was on to them.
And, yep.
Yeah. They wanted to be anonymous. And,
and
you know, Mike was asking me about that. He said, but don't generally spirits know? And yeah, they do. So what I'm wondering is, because they would call me by name, too. So what I'm wondering is, the spirit, did he mean, what is her reason to be here? Find out her name. Find out her reason. You know, or something like that. Some kind of cryptic kind of
Could be.
Because we don't want her back here.
She's not allowed back. We're going to cause hell for you if that happens.
That first night that I was there, so the story with that place, it's really an old business, and it's still in business, and it's been added on to for, I don't know, a few times, but it was from the late 1800s as well.
Nice. And,
there was the railroad came right by there. So they would stop and unload right there. And so, you know, I mean, it was a big transit point.
Right.
So anyway, something scared one of their customers one night. She was the last one there. They closed up and she was waiting on the guy to grab what she needed. And he was having to look it up and try to figure out exactly what she needed. And she had said, you know, I can come back. No, you're here. It's okay. Just sit right over here at this desk off to the side. And things started happening, footsteps. And she said, I thought you said we were the last ones here. And he goes, well, that's probably so-and-so coming back to get something he forgot, knowing they had all left. He knew they'd all left. And the door was hit. And she said, you said we were alone. And he said, hey, it's just the little ghosty. Don't worry about it. And she said, you're haunted? This is haunted? And he goes, just a little bit. But they're not harmful. Don't worry about it. And about the last thing that happened, it stomped across the floor and smacked the door behind him. Oh, smacked the counter that the guy had just said, oh, don't worry, it's just the little ghosty, blah, blah, blah. Smacked the counter so loud that she said, okay, are we almost done? So I came in wanting to sit where she sat.
Yeah.
And said, you guys go to another end, go back to the kitchen, the break room, whatever. I want to sit here by myself in the dark. And I had, some of your listeners will know what this is. You probably do. I had a sun drop that I had just opened, and I had my phone out playing solitaire, and I had the recorder going, and that's pretty much it. I was sitting at this desk, and it was one of those highly shiny desk that you can see everything in, almost like a mirror, you know, those that are so polished, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what I was sitting at. And I would hear something every once in a while, and I was trying to get a rise out of this thing. I'm going, I can't see ya. Why don't you try to scare me? Mm-hmm. Why don't you hit the door for me? Why don't you let me hear your footsteps? Blah, blah, blah. Every once in a while, I'd hear a tap and I'd say, that's probably just the building settling. And then there'd be a couple more tap taps. And that's probably still the building just settling. And then all of a sudden, the clock did something weird, but it was because it was one of those darn bird clocks.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And it was one of the ones, not the songbirds even. It was like the hummingbirds that you go hunt. And they've got some really weird noises that they make. One of them, it's like it was a time bomb going on. And it got faster and faster. And I'd never heard it. And I looked up at the clock and went, well, that was weird. But I still don't think that was you. That point, I looked down back at my phone to play my game, and over my head went this black, cloudy thing with eyes. And I said, oh, of course it wasn't up
there. Wow, right?
But I said, I think I just saw something, I think, but I don't know. The EVP I got after that was, it was me.
Oh, God. Wow. Did you just turn on your light?
Uh-uh.
You just got brighter. No. The whole light in there just got brighter on you.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to my haunted house.
That is pretty cool. I'm like, wait, am I seeing things? And I had to think about it for a minute. I was like, no, it was a little darker in there. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, you never know.
Nope.
You just never know.
No, and that's the cool thing about this world is that you get stuff like that. Every now and then, like somebody one time, I also have another podcast that I do with Amok Paranormal on Tuesday nights. And after the show was over, one of the guys on there was like, do you have any light like shining behind you? I said, no. He said, I could have sworn I saw a shadow go by back there. And I went, well, I mean, he did open the door. It could have been my daughter or something. So we had them play it out and doing everything. It wasn't them. So whatever it was, Tobias or, yeah, I'm like, well, maybe we caught something. I went back to try to find it and I really couldn't find it. But I said, well, if it wasn't them, then it was probably my little boy ghostie that's in here that likes to play around. And it's like I told him one time, because we were here by ourselves. Our daughter just went with her Nana. And at loud as day, I heard, Mama! Sounded just like her. And I'm like, was that Ari? And he goes, sounds like her. So we went up to the front. And or I went up to the front. He was still back here. And nobody was here. Nobody was around. I was like, you heard that, right?
So was it a mimic?
See, I thought at first it was a mimic, but I don't think so. I've lived in this house for 14 years, going on 15 years, and it never feels bad. It always feels like it's a playful youngster. And when I've asked a couple of psychics, I mean, I've asked Vanessa Hogel, and I've asked Robert White, which are two sensitive psychics, and I've even asked Patty Negri, and I got from Robert and Vanessa, yeah, I do see, well, I didn't even tell them who it was, but yeah. I believe it was a boy, a little boy, and I see around a 12, 13-year-old boy, and then the other one was like a 10, 12-year-old boy, and I'm like, all right, well, that just confirms. So, see, you're dark again. You're dark again in there. So
I don't know what's happening.
I can see you. It's just, okay, I just wanted to, I wasn't seeing things. All right, that's cool.
it's not the lights. It's the computer itself doing it. So I don't know why.
Well,
I don't know.
Wyatt, if you're listening, you're pretty awesome. Keep doing it.
He is pretty awesome.
The Web of Terror, the short story collection that you have.
Uh-huh.
How do you create a sense of fear and suspense in your writing?
You know, I didn't know I was a writer. You know, Mark reached out and said, you're pretty good with words. Can you edit this book for me? I've never done that. I was good in English, but never done that. But sure, I could. And after about the second book I edited, he goes, you need to write your stories. I thought about a book. He goes, it's time. You need to write yours. And I mean, I'd never mentioned that to him. Just in the back of my head, I had a lot that I could write about, but I didn't know how to start. So he gave me that little kick in the butt I needed. And then when he said, let's try some fiction. Okay, let's try it. Let's see what our messed up minds can come up with. And, you know, we just pulled some dark stuff out of our minds, and there's still some dark stuff up there. So who knows what's going to happen.
Now, have you gotten any memorable reactions from any readers or anything pertaining to that book?
Just ew. Or that was scary. Or, I don't know. That was a little bit too dark, or, you know, different things like that. But
yeah, remind you, that's just stories, y'all.
But But with that book, there is a tiny, tiny bit of truth in each story. Ooh. You just don't know what that truth is.
I see. I'm going to have to read that book from cover to end and see if I can decipher it.
Yeah, like, I'll tell you the true part in Trunk of Memories. That one was about the little girl that was found later. My brother put me in a wooden chest when I was little and sat on it.
Oh, my God.
And so I was maybe, I don't know, I was not 8 years old. I think I was more like five. I don't think I'd started school yet. And he was just mean.
Oh,
and
God.
Laughed about it, thought it was funny. But I'm a bit claustrophobic because of all that crap.
I don't blame you.
No. And so that's where that story came from. It was kind of like my revenge on him in my head, you know?
Yep. How much older is he than you?
5 years.
5 years? It kind of sounds like my 18-year-old and my 9-year-old. He is so mean to her sometimes.
Aww.
And it's like, aww. Why? He goes, because she's always coming in here. I said, well, you're her brother. What do you expect? And right. Then there's days where he's just so sweet and so loving to her. And it swells my heart to see it. But used to, when she was little, he'll go behind her and pop her in the back of the head. And not for hard, no, just pop her. And it's like, you want me to come behind you and start popping you in the back of the head? Well, no. Well, it drives her nuts. Will you leave her alone?
Yeah, absolutely.
But he used to do it. And then he did it just to irritate. And it's like, why? Why are you trying to irritate her? Why do you think she goes to your room after everything is said and done? To irritate you. Because you exactly. irritate her. But now, seeing it's pretty cool.
You're okay.
Well, sometimes he still aggravates her.
My brother always wanted to be an only child.
Oh.
So when I came along and he was five, that wasn't a good thing.
Oh.
And I don't think he ever really got over it. So anyway. We just don't hang around each other.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad I'm an only child.
And me and my sister get along great now.
Yeah.
Growing up, the three of us just didn't get along at all. But
she's the baby, right?
She's the baby.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're the middle and he's the oldest.
Yeah.
What is it with the oldest? The oldest are always... Because my oldest was really mean to the boy. Because they were only 2.5 years apart. And then he has been mean to her. And he goes, well, why can't I be mean to her? Isaac was being mean to me. I said, well, you should have learned that lesson. And not want to be mean to your sister.
Yeah.
But no, he's the type of brother that will be aggravated by her, but will be the first one to protect her and defend her when it comes to anybody else. So he's that type of brother.
That's a good thing.
Yes, it's a very good thing. I do love that about him. He is, and he's like 6'3", almost 6'4". So she's got that going for her. But
she's got a built-in bodyguard.
She does. Heck, I do. I had somebody come up to the door the other day. I'm 5'10". So I'm already a tall woman. So seeing me is already intimidating to some people because I'm tatted and pierced and everything else. And I saw somebody at my door and I was like, I don't know who this dude is. So I was like, just a minute. And I went to his room and I said, hey, bub, I need you to come out here with me. He goes, why? I'm like, just stand behind me. You don't even have to talk to anybody. Just stand behind me and it'll be okay. I opened the door and the guy that's out there, he goes, hi, I am the youth pastor. I'm like, oh, here, bub, just talk to him. But I had him behind me. It's just like, just in case. I mean,
yeah,
I...
Because you never know.
No.
I mean, things have gotten crazy.
Oh, they have. And I just saw a video the other day where this woman was outside with her granddaughter. And this guy was walking up the sidewalk and then forced himself into the house, jerked them both out. They were out, swallowed flat on the concrete. And he pulls a little girl up and slings her over to the side like he was about to take off with her. Luckily, the little girl came back to her grandmother instead of just staying off that way, but oh my God. That's why, in my opinion, it's always safe to have that little hipster right next to you, yeah. because you never know anymore. People are getting brave. The more that it's lenient in this world, the more braver they're going to get. And nope, sorry. Yes.
Did you see that the Ring camera video of the guy that was talking at the door? He would say, he was talking to himself like he was practicing. And he'd say, are you sure? Are you sure?
Oh, no.
Are you sure? Over and over again. And I can't look up Ring camera on YouTube. Oh. Scary Ring camera. And it's this this guy that finally her husband, who's not there, saw it on his phone. You know, he kind of, and he, the guy's going off and he goes, can I help you? And he goes, oh, are you sure? Can I help you? And, and comes back up and the guy says, who are you? Why are you here? And he says, that woman in there, I'm trying to get in because I'm going to rape and kill her.
Oh my God.
He was picked up late. It's a scary, scary video, and it's real.
Oh my God.
So you just, those Ring cameras are kind Life of a good savers. Thing to
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's freaky. My gosh, that is freaky scary. People are nuts. What the heck?
They are.
And you got to wonder what the hell is going on to make them so nuts. Well, I can name plenty of things, but we're not, this is not that podcast. well, I guess it kind of is in a way, because we are talking about the paranormal, and some of the paranormal peeps out there are some of the ghosts and poltergeists were kind of not all there. Depending on the situation and where you're at and what you're doing.
Right.
So, Whispers in the Dark, True Ghost Stories. We're jumping from one book to another.
Whispers in the Dark.
That one, yes.
That
so, in addition
my first book.
Yeah. Addition to writing, like, how do you balance between the fine line of providing enough information to captivate the readers to leaving room for their imagination and the supernatural to come to evolve?
I've never really thought about it like that. I just write whatever comes to mind. I just tell the story. I try to, like, on the EVP book, I have most of those on recorder. So I listen to the recording again and make sure it's in the right order and that kind of thing. And I try to get all the wording right. So if Joe says, hey, I think it's a girl ghost, and Bobby says, no, it's a hermit crab, you know, I want that in there. So I try to get it as close to the recording as I can, because these are true. These actually happened. So,
well, what strategies do you use to engage in your readership, to get them involved into your fan base and bring them in?
It's, since I'm self-published, it's word of mouth and Facebook post and podcast. The podcast have helped me more than anything get my name out. And I started last year going to Paracons.
Yes.
So that's been fun. It's been so fun. I went to the Moundsville State Penitentiary, and then I did the Phantom Pause for Historic Cause.
That that's awesome. That's an awesome name.
They're fantastic. It was their first one they did in Lebanon, Tennessee. This year in October, they're going to have it at the Nashville Fairgrounds.
Oh, and wow.
What they do, it's Eric Freeman Sims from Unseen Paranormal Podcast, Regina Blatt from RPG, I think that's right. She don't kill me, Regina. And Medics for Paranormal, don't kill me, Lee. Lee Pig. So it's those three that have come together and put on this Paracon, and it's gotten bigger. So they moved to the Nashville Fairgrounds. They give, it's like $10 to get in the door, and I'm not sure about this year. Forgive me if that's wrong, you guys, but last year it was $10, and that $10 went half to a historic cause. And last year it was the Memphis Cemetery that was having problems staying afloat, and they gave half of the money to them, and then the other half went to a dog sanctuary or, you know, something related to animals. So I think it was a dog sanctuary last year. This year, I'm not sure what the two are, but one's going to be historical and the other's going to be animal related.
That is awesome.
They're so great. They're so great. They're speakers. I'm going to be speaking.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's not far. You should come.
Oh, I would love to come. I've got so many. What? It's like, when is it in October? Because I have two.
October 21st.
21st. That's
like the third Saturday, I think.
Yep, that is the weekend before the Arkansas. Because we have the Arkansas Paranormal Expo that we go to. And, like, okay, so this month is Paragold. It's in Paragold, Arkansas. And it's Santiago Cirillo's first paranormal convention. What is it called? Scared City Productions presents Haya Nation's Horror Con or something like that.
But
that is the 21st. So we can have the 21st of this month. Now, we don't have any vending things or anything. We're just going to go out to network and see how it goes for the first year. And then in August, the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, I'm going to be driving out to the Hinsdale House in New York. And we're going to be there for 3 days and then driving back.
Wow.
That's 18 and a half hours. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell am I thinking? But I want to do it. I've been wanting to do it for a long time. I got invited and I'm not turning it down.
worth it.
Yes.
It'll be worth it.
And then in the 19th, we're going to Indiana for Keith Age. He's got a thing going on up there. And my birthday is the 18th. So we'll be driving up on my birthday. I'll be on the road on my birthday.
And so you'll have to have a birthday dinner somewhere.
Right? Definitely.
Yes.
And then in September, we have KillCon, which is in Illinois. And we have Border Town, which is in Kansas. And then in October, we have the Paranormal Expo. And then November, we have an investigation. I have two investigations. I have one at the Pythian Castle in Missouri and another one the day after Thanksgiving in Missouri, in Kansas. And then I don't think I have anything in December.
Yet.
But I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, there's so many places and so many things I want to do. And I would love to come out there. It's money.
I know.
I hate to point that out and say that. And I would love to come. And if I have it, I will be there. But, oh, man. Tennessee is an amazing place, though. I've been to Tennessee quite a few times. And whenever Keith H. had his Mid-South convention in Kentucky, that was fun. But I always heard horror stories of Louisville, Kentucky. And
you did?
I did. And then this past year, all I heard is horror stories of Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm like, well, that didn't happen while we were there.
Nothing happened while I was there. I love their spaghetti factory.
Oh, that spaghetti factory is so good.
It's my favorite restaurant.
It is so great.
I try to hit every one of them in any state I'm in.
I think there's
not
one.
In all of them.
I don't know if there's one in Oklahoma. That's, man, but.
Now we're going to be right back. after this brief break.
Are you looking for a supernatural radio show that is informative and fun? A show with topics such as ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic energy, spirits, cryptids, and more, hosted by paranormal investigators with years of investigations under their belts? Then look no further than The Calling 2.0, powered by the Sim Crew, hosted by paranormal investigator Jerry and psychic medium Valentina, along with others. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the Para-X Radio Network.
Where is the Sea of Moons? Is it on the moon? Or in a haunted part of the Pacific Ocean? Or is it just in our heads?
What if you dreamed of meeting a beautiful Irish girl, but she turned out to be a cop? What if you dreamed that you were on TV 24/7, but only the government knew the channel? And what if you dreamed you were shipwrecked on a deserted island and rescued by five lovely castaways, only to have some real pirates ruin the party? Then you should wake up and read The Sea of Moons, the latest installment in Mac Maloney's best-selling series, codename Starman. Follow the adventures of U.S. Navy Special Agent Chris Starr as he travels the globe using his special ESP powers to solve top-secret mysteries. First in Ireland, then in Tahiti, and finally to Hollywood, where Chris and his girlfriend Angel discover the only spooks inside an old haunted house belong to the CIA. That's Codename Starman, The Sea of Moons by Mac Maloney. On sale on Amazon and in bookstores everywhere.
Hey, I told you we're going to be right back. Wasn't that long, right?
But okay, so you're going to be a speaker. What are you going to be speaking about? Your books or your paranormal experiences?
It's kind of a combination. I'll tell a little bit about my books and what I've written about so far and investigations I've been on, how I got started, that kind of thing. And then I open the floor to questions and let people ask whatever they want to ask. So that's kind of fun because you never know what's going to be asked.
No, you don't. No, you don't. And that's the fun part of doing interviews, especially as me, the interviewer. And then being on the opposite side when people ask me questions as the interviewee, it's like, huh, that might be one I need to put into my...
Exactly. You know, I was on a podcast recently. Vanessa Edwards did Hauntedly is her podcast.
Ooh.
Out of Virginia. And she said, I'm going to send you, do you want me to send you some questions beforehand? And I said, I don't care. You can just ask me, you know, point blank. I don't care. Or you can send me some. And she said, I'll just send you a list just in case. She sends me a list that is 2 pages of questions.
Oh, my Lord. Like,
I wrote back. I said, well, you didn't want any dead time. And she said, I was just making sure we had enough to cover. I said,
right.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you did. We had the best time talking. We didn't hit all those questions, but... it was so fun.
Have 10 pages of questions right here, and I think I've chit-chatted with you more than asking. So I'm glad I didn't send you my questions.
Right?
Because I'm sitting there going, well, because most of my podcasts, I'm getting to know you. You're getting to know me. Yeah. We're chit-chatting. That's the way I like to do my podcast. And because I like the realism of it. I like the connection that you make and the bonding time that you make with the other person that's on. So whenever I make these questions up and I put them all together, I'm like, I'm never going to hit these questions. I may hit 1, 2, 3 of them. And then the rest of the time is just me coming out with questions myself and asking.
Yeah.
And that's the way I like to do it. Cause it just feels more, I guess, real, more honest and legit. Yeah, it is. It's a lot easier to do it that way than, What is the significance of the old Fayetteville Hospital? You know, it just kind of sounds...
Well, let's see, a lot of people were in there and a lot of people died there.
See? Does that sound like an intriguing conversation?
No. Not at all. However, unfortunately, the old Fayetteville Hospital is still closed. The owner is having issues with the city. And even though it's his private property now, they're trying to say, well, you know, we need a little money. We need a little money. Well, you know, it's bad.
Taxes upon taxes. This government is crap. Sorry.
Exactly.
It is total bull. You get taxed for your paycheck. You get taxed when you're paying people. You get taxes taken out on your property, your vehicles that you own. I mean, you're taxed out the ass, and there ain't nothing you can do about it unless you start standing up and saying, I'm not paying that.
No.
And then you go to jail.
For that. Yeah. So it doesn't, nothing pays.
Mm-mm.
It just.
Nope.
Just keep going up.
Gotta be a millionaire. And even then, you gotta donate so much.
Right.
Oy. So, how does your paranormal side work into your writing? Because you have a lot of paranormal writing in there, but you also have, like, the beyond thing. And the beyond thing, you say you're not as sensitive, but you do have a friend that's a psychic that's helped you out a lot with that.
Right. And... I'm sensitive. I'm not a psychic or a medium or anything like that. I'm just sensitive. I know when something's different. I don't
catch things out of the corner of your eye.
Yes, all the time. And I've only seen 3 spirits. I've seen several shadow figures and things like that, but I've only seen 3 spirits. One was the one I told you about that floated over me that, you know, was kind of weird. I saw the little girl at the hospital. She was peeking around the corner. And when I saw that, I turned to look and she just sucked back through the door and was gone. So I
like something grabbed her or like she ran.
No, she's like, oh shit. I've been seen. You know, like, oh shit.
Yeah. Oh shit. She saw me. Oh God. Yeah.
No. But so yeah, I saw her. And then, a friend of mine asked me to come over to her house because she had some things happening and wanted to know who it was. And it was while her husband was at work. So we were just sitting in the living room talking, and there was a flat screen TV in front of me that was off, and you know how shiny those things are.
Oh yeah.
So I was sitting facing it talking to her, and I saw movement, and I looked to the screen, and the most beautiful redheaded woman I've ever seen in my life just glided through. She was in an evening gown.
Wow.
Her long, flowy red hair, beautiful woman. And she had one of those gowns on that was, you know, had the straps, but it also had that scarf that you put around your back that goes down all the way down your back on both sides.
Yeah, those pretty ones. That's really long.
Yes, that's what she had on. And I turned to look, and of course, she's gone.
Oh, yeah.
And Pam said, you just saw something. And I said, who's the redhead? And she said, you saw a redhead? And I said, she's beautiful. She said, that's my husband's mother.
Oh.
She was showing herself as a younger version.
Yes.
They had a lot of her furniture there.
Oh.
And she had stayed with the furniture to make sure, as Pam says, that they weren't going to do anything bad with it. You know, don't get rid of it. You keep my furniture, don't mess it up.
Oh.
And she was just gorgeous, though.
Oh, wow. See, that's my hopes. I can go back in and go to the skinnier version of me.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, they seem to pick the way they want to be seen.
Yeah.
She wanted to be seen.
No.
Yeah, but it's going to come. It's going to come, and it'll come when you least expect it. It'll be in a reflection, most likely. So not necessarily in a mirror, but like in a glass that's over a poster or something, you know, a flat screen TV that's off, things like that. That's where you will see it first, most likely.
No, I've seen shadows. I did see, and I swear I think it's Tobias, the little boy that's here, because I saw a brown mist in my room that I used to do my podcast in. It kind of jumped over the table and under the table, like real fast. Like I saw it right over the top of my laptop, and I was like, And I just I didn't know what to say because I thought maybe I was seeing things, and.
No. You were seeing things.
I was seeing him. I was like, that had to have been Tobias. It just had to have been, because that's the only thing I can think of. He's trying to show himself to me. But I've never really heard of anybody talk about brown mist. I've heard of white mist and black shadows, and but never brown. And then whenever I saw that,
Yeah, no, they're all different colors. Let me tell you about a red mist. Would you like to hear that
story? Go for it.
So... my team was asked to help with a group event at Hell's Bar Dam, and that's between me and Chattanooga somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Guild, Tennessee, I believe is the name of the town. And Hell's Bar Dam was built over Indian land.
Oh.
So a lot of native stuff. Mm. And we're talking not just Cherokee and ones that you hear of all the time. We're talking about a long time ago, before anybody
else
was here, there were Indians that we don't really have pictures of.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really know anything about. So it was very old. When they built it, they always had problems with it. There was always a leak they couldn't fix, and just different things. People would get or drowned in the area. Just things would happen all the time. So anyway, we're asked to do a public investigation, and Matthew, my ghost magnet, that is what I call him, because they just seem to follow him and speak, and just there he's always got him. Matthew. He was the only one that could go with me, but he promised he could. So our job was to sit in the crossroads at Hell's Bar Dam and talk about EVPs and birth sessions and how we got audio and what we did, how we actually went about it and find it and that kind of thing. And then another group, Tennessee Soul Seekers, were down at the far end of the crossroads, and they were talking about all kinds of equipment you can use and what the millimeter was for and what this was for, you know, all this. And then Mark was in the far end of the building where the turbines and everything were. Mm-hmm. And he was going to do a seance that night. So they were, I mean, it was a great big event and all kinds of crazy stuff happening. So there were about four or five groups that came through, and about the second group that came through, first you tell them you have to stay really still. Any kind of material, if you brush up against it, we might hear that on audio, because these are so powerful that they'll pick up just anything. So find you a spot, don't move. You can breathe, but just try not to move too much. And if you fart, if you burp, if you cough, say, that was me, I'm sorry. Just hold your hand up and say, that was me, I'm sorry. We all do it. Just let us know, because it can come across as a growl and that kind of thing. So yeah, we were doing all that. We were doing birth sessions. And one, we were just getting ready to do, and Matthew was standing to my right. And right when I was telling them to be still, and this is what we're going to do, I had just, we're getting ready to do the burst, but I had another recorder that was taping the entire event. I just let it run. So right between me and Matthew, we heard a voice. I turned to him and he said, did you hear that too? Because you know, he usually is the only one that hears stuff. And I said, yeah, but I don't know what it was. Later on, we found out it was this grumpy little old man saying, I want to get justice. So fast forward, Matthew goes probably to the restrooms outside, you know. And he said, are you going to be okay? I'm fine. So I'm sitting in the dark and there was some light, you know, we got some lights in there, little lantern kind of things and our flashlights. We had noticed this kind of misty thing, just a little bit of mist. And it was like foggy. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, what is that? I don't know. I guess maybe it's just because we're underground a little bit. I don't know. He goes to the bathroom. I'm listening to my burst recordings, trying to see if I can hear anything else while he's gone. And he comes back about 10 minutes later and he goes, Sin, are you okay? Yeah, are you? And he goes, come here. And so I got up and I walked about 15 feet across the crossroads. And he says, turn around. And I look back and my chair is just engulfed in this red haze.
Oh my.
See it
gosh.
While I was in it.
Right.
It was all around me. And then while we were watching, it just kind of dissipated. It kind of shrank and moved backwards and then went around the corner and we followed it. And then when it went around the corner, it just disappeared. It was gone. So,
whoa.
What was that? I don't know. We didn't see anything else. Later on, one of the EVPs I got was this chant. I could not make it out. It sounded almost like a military cadence. I reached out to everybody I knew military-wise and said, do you recognize this? No, it's not a cadence we use. Nope. Don't know what it is. Couldn't understand anything. Couldn't understand a word of it. But it was a chant. And so 3 years later, I still don't know what this dang chant is. I had not mentioned it to Mark.
Yeah.
And one night, Mark and I were messaging on Facebook. And we were talking about Hell's Barn, that we both wanted to go back and try some experiments. And I go, you know, I've still got that EVP I can't figure out. And he said, send it to me. So I sent it to him. Not talked to him about what had happened. Mm-hmm. Just that I had this EVP.
Yeah.
He called me immediately and said, that's the Indians I was telling you about. That's the Indians. Those are the Indians. They were
before
any white man was here. They have black and red and white on their eyes, a little bit on their cheek. But they are so excited when people come to try to, you know, investigate, because
right.
they are so excited somebody wants to talk to them.
Oh,
and
wow.
you know they're there when you see a red mist.
Oh my gosh. I just got chill bumps on that.
Right? Had to go in. My husband, I, Susan, and Wyatt, the four of us. And last year, we went down to celebrate him and sit on the beach and toast him. And she took some pretty bottle rockets. And on one of them that she set off first, she had attached some of his hair.
Oh.
And what was so cool, right before then, a really good friend of mine I'd graduated with, Evie Hollis. And Evie, I'm sorry, I cannot remember your married name, but she actually took some flowers down to the beach at Pensacola Beach and in memory of Wyatt right after he died and launched the flowers in his memory. It was the coolest, sweetest thing.
Oh, I bet. So, I used to live in Mary Esther, which is next to Navarre Beach, which is next to Pensacola. Uh-huh. So we would go off to the island of Navarre Beach, and because that's the quietest during.
Well, and my friend Mark, the medium, lives in Milton, and his favorite place to go is Navarre. So when we go down, we always have dinner together and things like that. But this last year, the right before we met Mark, we were going to our favorite restaurant. We were going to meet him the next night. And we went to our favorite restaurant. We were going to order Wyatt's blue crab claws and, you know, toast to him and have a meal for him. And it was like an hour and a half wait. And we were just sitting outside chatting a little bit, mostly just kind of sitting, you know, just kind of, because we were kind of sad. Well, we were very sad. Mm. And then we heard this roar and turned to look across the road. Well, we were at Peg Leg Pete's, if anybody
knows
the Pensacola Beach area. Oh my gosh, they're so great. So great. We love it. That's our favorite. But we were waiting to go in and we heard this roar and we turned to look across the road behind the hotel that was, you know, across the street, condominium, and then the beach. And the Blue Angels is the lowest I've ever seen them fly. And they came right through missing man formation.
What?
So, yes.
No way.
Yes, missing man formation. He flew off. And I said that was for Wyatt.
That had to have been. What? I mean, that is too much of a coincidence.
It was the weird. I've never seen them fly that low.
Well, ever. Not only do they fly, they never fly that low, but they never fly without announcement.
No. And they were, one of the times it was later. I mean, if you want to see the Blue Angels, it's a certain time mm-hmm. at the day that you can go down and see them do maneuvers and stuff.
Yeah.
And this was after their maneuvers were over and they were headed back to the base.
Oh, wow.
And they were low and then one pulled up and off. And it was like, there you go, Wyatt.
Wow. Oh, man.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Signs are everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, a lot of people miss them because a lot of people are skeptics and don't believe in it. But if you just take a moment and think and look. And I mean, there's times that I never thought that my oma or my mamaw or anybody would be around, you know, me. They'd be around their kids or whatever. But I've had situations where it felt like my oma or my mamaw was there. It's like, I'm okay. Everything's okay. Y'all can go and do what you need. Just like these little subtle signs. Like, I was always called Sunshine. I was never called by my name. And she always called me her Sunshine. And for some reason, in my daughter's room, she's only got one window and it's really dark in there. But for some reason, one day I saw the sun just shining into the room. And I was like, and you just get that feeling. But all right, we're closing on the 2-hour mark. I would love to talk to you more, but I know it's been 2 hours, so we'll have to get you back on here. Maybe we'll get you and Mark on here because Mark sounds like a phenomenal human being. And
I would love him.
I would love to just chit chat with you guys about your experiences together and stuff like that. So that would be awesome. But tell people where they can find you, talk to you, ask you questions about your books, get your books.
Yeah. So my books are on Amazon, Send Trader Hill. And you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and even Pinterest. So I'm on there. Look for Send Trader Hill Author on Facebook. You can also come to Elk Valley Paranormal on Facebook or elkvalleyparanormal.com, our website. And if you are interested in sending me any kind of stories or ask me a question or anything like that, you can reach out on Facebook or send me an email, sendschraderhillauthor@gmail.com.
This has been a phenomenal conversation. I've enjoyed this podcast, doing it with you. It's been amazing. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for requesting it. And it was so weird because, you guys, I don't get a lot of people emailing me asking me to be on my show. And she emailed me asking to be on the show, and I looked her up and I went, oh, hell yeah. So I immediately said, yep, here's the calendar.
It was perfect. It was the best time.
It was definitely. Well, everybody, thank you guys so much for watching and tuning in. Next week, we're going to have Angel Ray. She's coming on to talk about, I love her. That's who I'm going to the Hinsdale house with.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, she was on legit. She was on legit paranormal, and I was on Supernatural Highway not too long ago.
Yep, and now you're on my show. That's another reason I was like, hell yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's even better.
Thank you so much for the follow. Oh no, that was just somebody. All right, Ellery, and I see where you're going at. You didn't pick the right one. But I'd be happy to come on. And now I've got to figure out how to turn this off real quick. There we go. Okay. But yeah, I would love to come on. Just let me know what days you have available and I'll see if I'm available.
You should come on a Sunday so we can all talk to you. And you should also, if you'd like to, on a Thursday, send some clips in. Audio, ooh, video, whatever you want to. And they try to figure out what it is before you actually tell them. And that can go off the rails quick. They're hysterical.
I will have to do that. Yeah, just let me know what days you got available. I will be happy to. What Sunday you have available and what time.
Right. Sounds wonderful.
But everybody, yes, just remember, go to Cyn Schrader Heal, and it's CynSHRADER. Because at first I wanted to put SCH first,
right.
But it's not. Go get her books, because her books are pretty damn awesome. You're going to like it. So until next time, thank you for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast. Oh, loved it.
I had fun too. Y'all have a good night.
That is the finale of Cyn Schrader Heal. Please go to her website and get her books. They are amazing and they are tearjerker, so make sure you have tissue handy. All right, coming up next week, I'm going to have Angel Veo. She's going to be on. While she's on, I am going to be at the Hinsdell House in New York. There will be live feeds on the Kick channel. Just go to www.kick.com/geeksparanormal. Again, it's www.kick.com/geeksparanormal. Go to the stream and keep an eye out, because you never know when I'm going to pop on. Go follow it. If you want to subscribe. It will be live feeds throughout the week in Hinsdell, New York. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is Shauna. See y'all later. Bye.